You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Guidepost. Tony here. And Cody's joining me. He's been missing for a little while. And we're actually doing this podcast because over the past couple of years and 200 and something episodes, I think our loyal listeners actually are, you know, invested in the Guides Association and care about us. And probably some of y'all have seen some stories and some posts from Cody and wonder what the heck is going on. So he's finally off the front stoop of death's front door, and he's back with us and improving a little bit. Still not 100% Cody, but way the heck better than he was a few weeks ago. So, you know, we're honest, we're transparent, and Cody and I thought it'd be a good idea for him to come on here and kind of explain what he's been through for the past little bit over a month, and maybe a little bit of life lessons that he unfortunately had to learn the hard way while he's been going through all this. And, you know, kind of not funny, but ironic that, he just came back from the doctor right now and had to hop in the shower real quick because he felt funky from being in his 900th doctor's office or hospital in the last little bit. But you know, I'm gonna kind of let Cody take it away and let him kind of tell this story. So, you know, everyone's on the same page and we all move forward together.
You know, it's kind of funny. As you said, that you're like, man, you know, all of our loyal listeners and the people who are tapped into the hundreds and hundreds of hours that we've recorded this. And it is funny because there's a big cohort of people that are like that are definitely our loyal listeners and been around for all the 215 episodes, give or take a few. And then there are still, every once in a while, I'll get someone who like sends me the Guidepost and says, you should listen to this. Like, hey, have you seen this about this topic? And I'm like, you know, sometimes I forget that maybe everyone's trying their best and life gets busy. And I'm like, yes, I have heard of the podcast that I edited all 215 episodes for the last half decade. Cool to be back. Crews held it down in a major way. There was obviously a gap where we didn't have some go live, and people will understand why here in a second. But the rest of the team recorded a couple good ones, and I used whatever energy I had in my body to edit those up real quick and get them live. So if you haven't listened to those ones, those are more compelling than this. But it has been a crazy and wild, call it five or six weeks. Those who attended Thai Fest or connected with me personally or whatever know that, you know, beginning of the year, broke my hand, right? Had it rebuilt. And it's one of those things. It's annoying, yes, but, you know, just a broken bone and a part of life. And many a jokes about my basketball career and fishing and all sorts of other goodies and throughout the first half of the year. And while that was a little bit of a mental drag to rehab that and get the hand going again in the grand scheme of things, just a funny story from life. But rehab that. I got a new boat built. I'm super excited. I got a brand new Contender that's going to be, you know, my rocket ship for the next however many years. Get back on the water, fishing in June. And I run my last trip on June like 3rd or 4th, one of those 2 days. I think we had like a couple team calls and stuff like that the next day. I had actually just filmed an episode with C.A. Richardson earlier that week for Flats class, talking about seagrass and captainship clean water and conservation, all sorts of stuff. And I got off my trip, that last trip, and remember, we actually had a storm we had to run from, classic Florida summer. We pulled out a little bit early, and I remember laying on like a picnic table with my anglers right after that, being like, my back's kind of sore, whatever, sucks getting old. I think I had a basketball game that week. We had some calls. Fishery stuff, ran these couple trips, whatever. I get to the end of that week and I was like, man, my back is killing me. And it was specifically from like my tailbone down. And I was telling my fiance, Sarah, who is pregnant still is, but was pregnant at the time. At the time we were at coming up on 6.5-ish months at that point. So crazy life at home, holding all that down, doing the work stuff, whatever. And each day it kind of kept getting worse. And it was like a pain I've never felt before. It was like a DeWalt drill was on my tailbone. And the way to describe it was like someone was holding down that drill and it had an endless battery and it wouldn't stop. So there was no sit down, lay down, incline your legs, do whatever. There was no relief, no stand, no kneel, no stretch. I'll tell this in the quickest way possible so this doesn't feel like someone's reading a medical record, but went to the doctors, you know, they give you some painkillers, whatever. And I was like, man, I think I need to go to the emergency room. This isn't too hot. I went there, and at this point, I'm just like writhing, screaming in a hospital bed in the hallway. And at this point, you know, I have no clue what's going on. And I got to get the classic modern doctor experience, which they came out and they're like, hey, we don't see anything on an X-ray, but slip discs never show on an X-ray. So, you know, here's some opioids, go home, hammer these, you have a slip disc. And I made it another like 24 hours. The pain kept getting worse, even through the opioids. And I remember texting you, Tony, and being like, I have a temperature, struck a fever through the pain pills. Something is not right. I got to go back. Go in, get some scans and stuff done. It's now like midnight at this point. I'm at the emergency room here in town. And doctor comes back in and he's like, so he loads up a list of all the patients that are on the floor right now. And they're all red except the green one at the top. And he's like, this is you. This is all the people I'm ignoring because of how serious what's going on is with you. Your nerves from your tailbone down are demyelinating. And if we don't solve this in the next couple of weeks, like if you waited on this any longer, you're going to end up being a paraplegic. And if it gets up in your brain, you know, you're going to be a vegetable, you're screwed. And so get shipped up to the intensive care unit. And it was quite a weird experience because like in the ICU, you have all these horrible things that have happened to people. And I'm like a relatively in shape 31-year-old when they're like getting me set up on the stuff. And they're like, why the heck are you here? And it was super crazy week. I'll, you know, shorten this up a bit, but fast forward a million tests and all the stuff I go through, and seems like we have some guesses about what might have gone on, but we'll never really know exactly what it is. So then I go on another 3 weeks. Again, this is the shortest possible version, but I had a spinal tap done when I was getting shipped to the ICU. And I had a spinal fluid leak for almost a month after that, which typically is the type of thing that you get happens in an epidural or something like that. And then you go back a couple of days later and they're like, man, this is going on. You know, we should solve this so you don't suffer. And then I had that for going on a month. So that's the shortest possible story. I am now got patched up on my spine, been through 10 million pills over a month. And now starting get to feel like I'm myself again. But the reason why we chose to hop on was not like this is a woe is me thing. And, you know, someone needs to hear my medical history. But you and I were talking a lot throughout that entire process about life, love, liberty, faith, pursuit of happiness, and a million other things, amongst some sarcastic stuff and memes to keep me entertained. But it was amazing how, like you said, you get a little bit closer to the doorstep. just once. And I know you've had, you know, some moments in your life where you've gone through some crap, and how quickly everything you thought you worried about before doesn't matter at all. It literally doesn't matter. And I'm hoping that the clarity, which is like one of the few positive side effects, you know, positive outcomes of something like this, is, you know, a little bit of life clarity. I'm hoping that I can latch on to it and don't lose it for a really long time, because it's very empowering. And you and I talked about this, where I said one of the things that I just felt like I was missing out on was the advocacy stuff. Whereas, like, man, if I could just get out of here, what I would do just for another moment to try to make a positive impact in anything. And those were the type of things that I was thinking about when I was hooked up to, you know, a million different things, like I was Iron Man or something. But those are the type of things that actually matter. Your family matters, you know, your loved ones, your friends, and all the other things you think you cared about don't matter at all. And if you start to think about, you know, man, if I only had, we're all moving so fast every single day that we don't really stop to think like this. But you think about, man, if I only had so much time, how would I use it? And so many of the different topics that came up were under the umbrella of the stuff that we do day to day, which is a powerful realization. So I'm excited to be back with the team, metaphorically, me and you always make sports analogies, but I've been traveling with the team like an injured player of sorts. I've been tuned into everything, and everyone's been, you know, on all these different calls, sending the updates, doing whatever. So I'm not far removed from what we have going on, and excited to be fired up and get back into it. But, you know, two of the takeaways, Tony, and I'd love to hear your thoughts a little bit on this, but one, how little some of these other things matter, and how you realize that really quickly. And then the second thing was like, oh, if I ever got another swing at the bat, if I get a chance to get back into X, Y, and Z, these different things from your life, how would I do them differently? And within the bounds of advocacy and the fishery stuff we do and the clean water stuff we do, it's like, my give a fuck a meter is at like, it was at like 2 out of 10 before. And that's why we were able to drive a lot of, you know, really powerful things, is we were willing to step up and just say, screw it, I'll swing here. Let's go do this. I'm not afraid about what people think. I'm not whatever. But there were already still some filters that I always put myself through about, you know, trying to see both sides of the coin, trying to be thoughtful, trying to whatever. And those won't change. But my give a fuck meter's gone from 2 to 0, right? Which is, you only get so much time. What is the legacy I want to leave behind? These are the things that I want to impact. This is what I believe in. And that's all that matters, because all that matters is your loved ones, your family, and whatever the heck you want to do with your life. And so we're coming back to our next at bat with just the utmost level of calmness, I guess, which is like, man, you realized how little commas and blogs and, you know, I don't know, I'm just making random stuff up, but, you know, shipping dates and photo filters and whatever, and, you know, all these different things, none of it really, really matters at the end of the day. And if you can combine that with a commitment to detail and equipment quality and doing good and all the things that we still had, amazing how powerful you can feel with your ability to do good if you can kind of cut out the bullshit. So that is my shortest possible explanation. I don't think I need to bore anyone else with any more of the details of what went down, but it's been a crazy couple weeks. And I will, my closing thought on my little monologue here would be, I won't say any names because I don't want anyone to feel left out if I forgot someone, but what also a powerful takeaway to find out who actually cares about you. And that just some people that are within our ecosystem with ASGA and our advocate community, or, you know, whatever, a million different communities that I'm in, you really find out who's a really good person and who gives a damn. And I'm forever, forever grateful for those people.
Yeah, man. You know, it's a lot to digest for the listeners. The way that we saw it, you know, the leadership at ASGA was that, you know, one of our core members was in a really bad place, and it was scary. You know, it's 10 times, 1,000 times worse for Cody and his immediate family, but it sure was scary for us too. And, you know, the only thing we could really do for Cody is just assure him that we're going to be there and get him through this, and don't worry a single thing about work, and we'll figure it out, and he'll have a nice place to land when he gets healthy again. Cause I think we all believe that in our hearts, that, you know, he's a young, strong young man, good health, and that would kind of lead him through this. But there were certainly some sleepless nights and, you know, a lot of phone calls that I was getting, because we were just trying to funnel the information so Cody didn't have to have, you know, 100 conversations, because a lot of people do care about the kid. So, you know, it was an experience for us as well. But I think the big takeaway, and, you know, I'm not talking about like, oh, I was driving down a road and a deer jumped out in front of me and I swerved to miss it at night and I hit some, you know, leaves and two of my tires went off the road. Man, that scared me. I could have died. And that's, you know, I'm sure there might be somebody listening. God, you know, forgive me for saying that, but I'm sure maybe somebody did get hurt, or, you know, and maybe that's not the best analogy, but I can promise you, when you're laying on a metal slab and you're covered in your own blood and a priest walks up and gives you last rites, you know, that's a little bit of a different level of, oh boy, what's going to happen? And Cody had that kind of thing. That, and just to be clear, that happened to me when I was a young man. And I'm not saying that happened to Cody, but what I'm saying is, when you're in an intensive care ward for a week and you look like Keanu Reeves from The Matrix, all plugged in with tubes and everything and stuff beeping, and you can't sleep for more than 2 hours because the nurses have to come in and give you medication and check your vitals and wake you up. And it's really hard to get better when you're in that environment and mentally and physically and everything. And you know, I knew Cody was feeling better because he took a picture of himself leaving the hospital when they took him out of intensive care, and he had socks and sandals. And somehow in the work text, that devolved immediately into pitching large brands for a new socks and sandals one piece setup, 50% SPF to protect your feet on a boat.
That's how you know you got good friends, is when like you literally just walked out of the ICU and they start roasting you right away. Like, I sent a photo like, I'm out, you know, like fresh air, well, you know, my hands up or whatever. And they're just like, what's that in your hands? What's that? Oh, look at your shoes. Oh my God, who wears those? Like, I'd be in the ICU too if I had that pub, you know, just absolutely ripping me to shreds. And it was like, that felt like, all right, I'm home again. You know, it's like a movie. You walk in and friends start shitting on you and you're like, yeah, this is normalcy.
Yeah, your sibling walks in the room, farts and shuts the door. It was kind of one of those things.
Yeah, this is home.
You got to sit in the bed and be like, all right, well, they love me. And you know, I'd like to bring like a bigger picture thing up, and Cody touched on it. And I think this is relatable for everyone. Yeah. In our lives, sometimes we're in the right place, you know, working, and it's your personality and where you are with your personal development and what you want to accomplish in your life. And, you know, for the real lucky ones of us, we find that place, even if it's just for a short window in time. And you always remember those people that you worked with if you have to move on. And it's just always a special part of your life. And when we founded the Guides Association years ago, I've been through some horrific professional situations where you're painted in a corner, you can't leave, you gotta provide for your family, and like waking up every day is almost unbearable. You don't like the people that you work for, you know, they're just, it's just not a good, healthy environment. And the leadership of ASGA from the beginning, I think, all had those collective experiences. And I want, every day we try to create an atmosphere where people can do what they love if they show the maturity and the work ethic and everything that we're looking for. You know, you say you're going to do something, do it. And if you can kind of check those boxes, we just let you be you. And my hope in the long term was that we would be able to attract like-minded people and just start stacking talent, because people would appreciate the fact that they can get up every morning and be excited about what they're going to do that day, or the difference they can make, or the fact that, hey, I get to work with so-and-so from across the country, and I really like this person. And I learn from them, and we collaborate and share ideas in the most profound sense of that. And both of our knowledge builds on itself and everyone else's knowledge, and there's no egos, and you know, we all work towards the same work product. And I really got to see that. You know, I see it every day, but I think I got to see an appreciation of it when Cody was down for the count. Because a lot of people stepped up and, you know, did stuff that was, you know, outside of their comfort zone. But it was that team mentality. You know, the best thing that we can do for Cody is keep the machine going, make sure he has money in his bank account. You know, he's got a baby on the way. He's got a new boat. He can't even lift his head up. You know, can't even walk into a room with the lights on because his spinal fluid's leaking. And all that we can do is set everything up to where when he gets back, as far as we're all concerned, you know, from a work perspective, nothing happened to Cody. And yeah, I mean, you can't replace a Cody, but you can certainly keep the machine rolling. And I think what we watched with the old guard and the new guard and, you know, the new guys that we brought on and the people who've been with us from day one, you know, there's a real sense of family and community where, you know, we all didn't stray from the mission. Because it's real easy when somebody goes down and you're like, well, we're not going to write any blogs, do any podcasts, do any outreach to brands, you know, all the stuff that Cody does every day, because Cody can't do it. And you're like, well, what if we keep doing it? Maybe it's not quite as good. Maybe it's not quite as often because Cody can't put his touch on it, but we're still moving forward because there's a lot of important issues coming up in the next 30 days. I just couldn't be more proud of everyone and the way that they responded, because Cody's job is no easy task. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, the poor guy honestly couldn't move. Couldn't think, couldn't do anything for weeks. And, you know,
I already know some of my friends are already thinking, you know, could he think beforehand? I've gotten a lot of those texts, and those are actually greatly appreciated, more so than the like thinking of you is kind of like the roasts make me feel like life's normal again. So I've gotten every brain MRI I got, people were like, did they ever find it? You know, I've gotten all of those texts and calls, and they hit well.
Well, imagine just being knocked out of the game for 6 weeks and not like with a, oh, I tore my ACL, like, oh, I could die or be paralyzed for life. And then you got to come back and everyone's like, well, you got to do the 6 week of work that you missed. And we were able to kind of integrate Cody and give him an option when he started feeling better, which was really just last week, to be like, hey, look, man, you know, this is the easy stuff. That's not going to make you feel like somebody just beat you to death with a baseball bat if you do it. And let's slowly integrate you back in. I'm just bringing this up to say, like, this is a great place to work for two reasons. Because the leadership looks out for the people who give their all, you know, for what we do. But I think more importantly, the team looks out for each other and that they truly like each other. You know, Cody, I want to turn this into something different, but 4 or 5 years ago, there was a lot of conflict.
It's just with anything. We're in, you know, 501c3 nonprofit. It's that there's still that dynamic of like entrepreneurial small business-esque type thing, which is like trying to build something special. And then all the stuff that you talked about, like align people who really love exactly what the mission is, what that core mission is, and get everyone rowing in one direction. And with anything, whether it's a nonprofit or it's a, you know, a small startup that one day is going to be sold to a big Fortune 500, you know, there's a couple core tenets of it. It's like building mission, building brand, building what people are supposed to believe in, what the heck it is, what its mission is, how it's going to do that mission. And then you need a really powerful crew of people to row the ship in one direction. And obviously the type of people who have done cool stuff and maybe even people are sitting back or saying like, yeah, I kind of noticed it's been quiet lately from ASGA. And we've put some stuff up, you know, within the last 10 days or so, and whether it's podcast, blogs, whatever, different things. But, you know, some of the work that you're describing is policy related, and it's on fronts that people might not see the public facing product of the work that was done in those weeks, you know, until that topic comes to a head, until it's whatever. And so, you know, it was very powerful to know that there are people, like you said, that are willing to see someone drop their oar and just slide to the front and say, I'll keep rowing while, you know, you take it.
Yeah, and Cody, like, how many times maybe I'm projecting about my life, but like, how many people out there listening, you know, one of your concerns, if God forbid something like this happened to you, you had a medical problem or a family issue and you had to step away from work for, you know, an extended amount of time. And did it ever cross your mind when you were in that position that like, oh my gosh, I wonder if that guy's undermining me because he wants my job?
Yeah.
And like, what am I going to come back to? And I mean, that has happened to me. That's why I bring it up. And like, not a single person, you know, nobody was like, Cody's down. I can get his salary and I can show Tony that I can do better than Cody. There wasn't a sniff of that from the over 10 different people that work for us in different capacities. The only thing I heard over and over and over again was, do you have an update on Cody and how can I help? And that was it. And I'm 54. I've never, in any other scenario, in any other situation, I guarantee if I'd been in a leadership role, one person would have walked up and been like, hey, well, I have these ideas and I think we could take ASGA in a different direction and fuck Cody. And, you know, even though he's half dead, you know, and I would have been like, wow, you're an awful person. But I didn't hear that. Not from anyone.
They give a shit about what we're doing and they believe in the whole being a sum of the parts. You know, I had some corporate professional experience where I loved what I did and everyone believed in it. When I moved down to Florida and worked for Costa, it was like, oh, at that point, before any sort of craziness had happened with the brand, everyone woke up every day like, I can't believe I have the opportunity for this to be my job. And the brand was so powerful and so good at I guess, fostering an environment that like we even had people that were making minimum wage, you know, picking up the call center calls, who were like, every time we had a quarterly company meeting, they were like chanting and stuff like that when they came to the big quarterly meeting, because they were so proud to work for Costa, and they weren't, you know, they obviously weren't even enjoying the fruits of, you know, a marketing career that allowed you to go to these cool places and all these work perks, whatever. They were just picking up calls from people who were pissed about broken sunglasses, and they were like, no worries, we're Costa, we love you, we'll take care of you, whatever. And so I've worked for something like that. And then I've worked, whether independently or under the umbrella of other things that weren't like that, before, you know, I got connected with ASGA, or right when our relationship first started to bud. So I've seen where people are like, F this, I don't want to be here. And even if their job had some cool, you know, dynamics, oh, I still get to travel, or I still get free reels. I don't know, I'm making shit up, but they still are, man, I hate this person next to me, or, you know, I had to do this presentation and I'm pissed that this person's here, or whatever. Like some of the stuff you talked about, you get these dynamics. But when you're lucky enough, I've been really lucky to have two things that what I call family, which is the Costa family when I first moved down there, and the opportunities they gave me, and all the incredible people I connected who are still a major part of my life. And then now with ASGA, being a part of a new family, which is people are connected to one goal, which is making the world a better place. And we all have various, you know, we're like, what's that movie, The Benchwarmers, when they get like all the weird kids together to play, you know, we are the Benchwarmers. We have a
totally
weird crew totally of people like that are like, you know, from all different states, all different backgrounds, political affiliations, different, you know, upbringings, different whatever. Everyone joins together and we have these hilarious and awesome team calls where it's goofy, it's fun, but also everyone's like, we just want to make the world a better place, and we're really concerned about these fisheries and how can we do so. And it feels really cool to be a part of a family like that. And it's kudos to yourself, and then also kind of everyone that's been involved with it in all sorts of various capacities, including our listeners, who, because they give a damn, because they send a public comment, because they did a whatever, they give the wave any sort of momentum that actually allows it to make impact. So,
you know, Cody, I think it's a great point. And I think that's why we're doing this podcast, because, yeah, I think, people don't understand, you know, your life is what you see and what is your own perspective. And it's just an example about the podcast. I listen to the podcasts that I do, and I cringe in a corner and suck my thumb when I hear my voice sometimes, and consistent mistakes that I make when you're trying to be the best podcast host that you can be, and trying to be constantly better at it.
I do that too when you talk.
Yeah, totally. It's not, believe me, you're not the only one. But I do that for the listeners, because I do want to be better. And if I am better, they'll learn more. They'll listen more. They'll hit rewind when we go over some, you know, dense science thing. And that's the reason why we're doing this podcast right now, because believe it or not, our listeners actually care about how you were doing, and they may have gotten a sniff of it on social media, or they may have, you know, may have just been casually wondering, like, what the heck happened to Cody? I don't want people to understand that there's nothing that we do that we don't think about y'all, you know, the people that support us, whether it's how we ask questions on the podcast, or words that we write in a blog, or stuff that we put on social media. Y'all are front and center.
I remember,
and you always will be, because without y'all, what are we?
We're just a
bunch of people talking.
Like, I remember feeling this immense wave of, like, I don't know what the right word would be, but like shame almost, or just disappointment in myself when the Georgia Redfish public comment period was coming to a head. And that was very early on, early to mid of this experience that I've gone through. And feeling like when I see Jared DeVincent, you know, fighting his ass off and trying to rally his people, and you and our team reaching out to different people in Georgia and trying to get stuff done there, and feeling like I'm letting people down. And most people, when they are just thinking, I still don't know if, at this point, if something's going in my brain and I'm going to be cooked soon, you know, am I going to be able to walk out of the hospital with my son in my hands in a couple months here, in 2 months? Like, most people would not be thinking at all about work. And this is not a commendation, or this is not like a tooting my own horn. It's rather, it's the other way. It's like, I feel this immense wave of like a duty to keep doing the stuff that we do to try to support the people who really support us and give a damn. And I felt all sorts of different ways when I felt like I was letting some of those people down. And those are feelings that if I went through this 10 years ago, 9 years ago, whatever, I would not have been at home saying, man, I'm letting down so many Costa people that need their sunglasses repaired. And you know, I would have been like, F it, you know, those people, someone else will take care of them, whatever. But when this, it was just such a nice eye opener that one of the positive takeaways is how proud I am of our community, not our team. You already touched on our team, but our community at whole, and this immense amount of gratitude and like feeling of service of, man, we owe them a heck of a lot because they don't have to listen to anything. They don't have to give a shit. They don't have to read about anything, but they do. And so I'll be damned if I let them down by not doing the most we possibly can. And that was a huge takeaway for me on this. And you talked about why we decided to hop on the podcast. And one of the things was like, I did a post or two on social just to be like, hey, gonna need a little break here. You know, don't holler at me if you know, you need X, Y, or these certain things. I'm gonna need a little time. But I haven't really delved into all the details and tried to tell the story. And we didn't really even, you know, to a major detail here, but I felt like this was an appropriate place to kind of have that conversation because this was like my family, you know, for the close friends who have called, who tried to check in. It takes like 30 minutes when I really go into all the details. Every call is minimum 30, 40 minutes to try to explain, dude, I just saw what's going on social. What the heck's going on? Can you tell me? It takes a really long time when you get, especially when you get into the gory details. And there have been some people, you really learn who your people are and who deserves the time to hear what's going on and who is looking out from you afar in a really major way. Because you get some texts that are like, hey, man, you know, thinking of you. And those are all, anyone who took half a second to say anything is very thoughtful. But you can tell when there are certain people that are like, I know, you know, we have Scotty on here occasionally, and I know he texted Sarah, hey, I just heard what happened. Do I need to get in the car? I'll drive from South Carolina right now.
Dude, I'm going to jump in. Listen, I'm not even joking. I'm listening to you talk about this. And I mean, I guess I can tell you this now because you're out of the woods, but you know, I've been through this. Like my sister died and I do my best to watch her two boys. And then I was like, you know, worst case scenario pops into my head. And I'm like, man, you know, what if something happens to Cody permanent? And then I was like, well, that little kid is going to have like 9 dads and an extra mom with Sue.
Yeah.
And I mean that seriously, like, because you sit there and it's tough when you're friends with somebody and they work for you. It's hard because, you know, those lines cross all the time. But what we settled in our head was fine. We can only do so much. And you know, while Cody's going through this, we're going to do 100% of what we can do. And then there was, you know, there was a couple of days where we were like, man, I don't know what's going to happen with this. Like there were just a million questions and your mind drifts away. And it's funny that you brought up Scotty because honest to goodness, you know, that was one of the first persons I thought about. I'm like, well, little Cody Jr. is going to be fishing with for redfish on Scotty's skiff. And then Blaine's going to get him his first muskie. And he's going to be tromping around Maine with the boys, with Jake and Kyle. And Ray's going to take him probably to catch his first Albion Bonito. And he's going to be catching trout with Bailey and redfish with Ty. And Mario and John are going to be teaching him a bunch of egghead science shit. And, you know, you don't want your brain to go there. But when it does, you're like, that's really what's in your heart. And you're like, geez.
There's a reel on Instagram that has like a quote that I think a bunch of people just like steal the template and put videos on it. But it reminds me of that, where it's like, I can't wait till my kid's old enough to realize all of his uncles are just my stupid friends. You know, right. It's like one of those things where people are like, hey, Uncle Scotty's here. And it's like, wait, how's Scotty family?
Oh, and dude, I mean, I'm prime uncle, right? I got like 14 nephews, 3 nieces, 4 nieces. Like I am the certified crazy uncle in the family that will do anything to make his nephews and nieces laugh and have a good time. But in all seriousness, like, you know, when Cody started feeling better, you know, my mind kind of went back to that. Now I was really just swollen with pride to think of like what we've built. And look, man, Cody is not alone. A lot of people that work for us have gone through deaths, medical, you know, their moms died, their dads died, their friends died. You know, horrible, just terrible life stuff. And every single time the association drops everything and does everything that we can to say, we got you, you know, we got you. And, you know, anyone listening to this, I hope that every day you operate in the same work environment. But to me, that's the secret sauce of why we are effective and why people either love us or hate us. There is no in between.
What do I always say? To know us is to love us or hate us, and both are okay. I just need you from the outreach perspective to know about us. And then you can pick your path from there. And if you hate us, so be it. We definitely grew a hater or two just on Facebook this week. Oh. We won't touch on that, but no, I think
that'll be another podcast. But you know, Cody, the point is, like, it's fine if people hate us. I see what they cheer for. It's fine if they boo us. I'm not looking for their approval, but I think when you have that stark division, that wedge, you know, somebody asked anybody about us, they're not going to be like, you know, I read one of their things once. It's usually going to be like an emotional response. And I think that's a reflection of what we have all built. And I hope people just know that we're a lot more than just an association. We're, you know, a ragtag band of some really smart and really passionate and really hardworking people from all backgrounds, all ages, all everything. And it's the privilege of my professional career to, you know, somebody, man, we're not going to get into this, but somebody kind of took a shot at us, you know, yesterday about the pathetic shape of our fisheries and, you know, how could we, you know, be proud of anything that we did and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of read it and I was like, you soulless cretin. Like, there's so much to be proud about. Not forget about the wins that you aren't mentioning, but, you know, we've built something a lot more powerful than just fisheries.
Yeah, it's a model or framework of how to drive some impact and how to give a damn about something. And so anyone that listened this far, I hope that their takeaway is you guys are a part of the family that we're talking about, and why I feel like when I'm croaking that I'm letting you guys down, and we don't get the chance or the, you know, I can't indulge in the privilege to work my tail off on all the stuff that we care about, the stuff we comment on, the stuff that we do. But you guys are a part of that family, and why everyone works so damn hard. You know, we see all sorts of funny stuff on social media about, I'll edit that out. I dropped something. You know, we see all sorts of funny stuff on social media about who ASGA is and who ASGA isn't. And again, all of those are at this point, funny and amusing, but it is a group of people that give a whole heck of a damn about making the world a better place. And anytime they see a like, a comment, a share, anything online, when they host an event and people show up, when a brand says, we love what you do, can we support X in this way? When a public comment portal is up and they see hundreds of people, thousands of people actually comment, and it's their talking points that they've helped build within the, you know, the model that they're trying to put together, a little module or whatever for the public comment. It means a lot to the type people that you see on these podcasts, names mentioned in blogs, out tagging for us, whatever. It really means a whole lot when you guys participate, when you guys are involved. And that's not to say like you have to always agree with us 24/7 or always think that we're on the right track on a specific topic. You know, find your own path in this. This is a create your own adventure scenario, but the type of people that participate and join the conversation, whether they're pushing us to be better, whether they're totally excited about what we're doing, you know, it means a whole lot to a whole lot of people. And I'm hopeful to get as many days as possible to keep doing that stuff for everyone. And I don't know if there's any little seeds we want to plant at the end when it comes to fisheries, Tony. I don't know if there's any little quick updates you want to throw in.
Well, I mean, I'll tell y'all right now, we had probably one of the most powerful consultant calls last week when Cody was finally able to attend one. I think everyone was invigorated. You know, it's like you get one of your star players, again, the sports analogies, you get one of your star players back on the team, and they're coming back, and everyone's kind of really excited and happy, obviously, that Cody's doing a little bit better. We could all see it in his eyes. We could hear it in his voice. And the result of that was just a level of energy and commitment and a whole bunch of other stuff that we're going to have moving forward. And y'all are going to hear an awful lot coming out about stripers and menhaden and redfish and the stuff that y'all care about, and our research and research that we have coming up that we haven't said a peep about. That's really exciting about some, you know, really front of mind species that hopefully we can get some answers that we desperately need, but we'll save all that. But what I can tell you, what I will talk about real simply is this. And I'm not going to give the worm who deleted his comments on our social media credit for this, because we decided it a week or two ago, but it emboldened me when this guy just decided to start slinging mud at us for no reason other than his country club friends would be upset. But I'm going to put it to you like this. I think ASGA is doing a great job. I couldn't be more proud of the team. But we aren't doing enough. And that's not necessarily our fault, but we are responsible. So what I mean by that is the acceleration of the decline of the fisheries that we advocate for is surpassing our wins. And that could be for a lot of things that we don't have control of, like striped bass not spawning well. Some of them, it is stuff that we have control of. But it's our job to conserve these fish for y'all. So what you are going to see over the next few months is we're taking the gloves off. And we're going to tell people what's really going on. We're going to give you a window into, you know, our world, our day-to-day. We're going to be transparent and honest about it. And like Cody said, y'all can make up your own mind. Maybe you won't like the new and improved us. But I would strongly suggest everyone, you know, understanding that there's different phases in your life and different things happen to you. And the thing that where I'm at is time. And it's not like I'm a decrepit old man, but I'm getting close. And, you know, Cody just pretty much had a near death experience, and a lot of other of our people have experienced loss. And I guess that all came to a very sharp tip last week. And we all collectively decided that we're going to fight harder and we're not going to hold back anymore because we have held back a lot. We're not going to pull punches and we're going to tell people like it is and we're going to throw it all out there. So you can expect vicious.
Relentless, maybe.
Relentless.
Courageous.
Yeah.
Unforgiving,
you know,
I would say unapologetic. I think that's the word I like the most, which is like, we're just going to be us.
So whether it's Menhaden, Stripers, big stuff coming up on Menhaden, big stuff in August. And with any of these fisheries issues, any of them, you have a tiny, narrow window to make a difference. And if you are not successful in that window, it may not come along again for a year or two or three.
And worth noting, if you are successful in that window, sometimes it takes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus years to be realized.
Right.
As well. Think, because, you know, flowers don't grow overnight. Trees don't grow overnight. And these are living creatures that we're talking about managing.
So for any of y'all who liked us for our moxie, you know, for our toughness, you know, kind of blue collar way of approaching this, well, you're going to like us a lot more because we have an incredibly smart team, crazy passionate. We've added some new members in the last some new employees, consultants, whatever you want to call them in the last 6 months. And all I can say is if you like this for those core things that drive us, boy, you're going to like us a lot more in the next couple of months because we've kind of had it. We've had it with the BS. We've had it with the lies. We've had it with everything. And we're running out of time to save some of these fisheries. Our urgency is pinned on red, and you're gonna see a big difference in the next couple of weeks and months.
Well, I'm excited about that. I'm happy to be functional and be able to converse with you, Tony, without having to be laying prone. It's definitely an improvement in general life quality, but. This already did kick my butt. I'm definitely taking a nap after we record this. and I do have an MRI at 7 p.m. tonight. The journey continues for me, not completely out of the weeds, but we've made some good progress and we've realized a lot of things. And again, I mean, this is not a freaking some sort of weird like marketing ploy or something like that. I genuinely, from my heart, really appreciate our entire ASGA family, whether that's someone I work on a podcast or a blog or a public comment campaign with, or whether that's someone that just takes half of 12 seconds of a day to read something, one sentence we put out and says, you know, maybe it sparks a conversation along the way. Really appreciate all you guys. Excited to be back on the podcast. If you made it this far in this episode and all 215 and didn't realize that I have edited all 215 of these. I genuinely don't know how you function as an adult. That being said, please do not send this to me and tell me that you need to hear this story. If you send me this one, which happens every once in a while, I have some serious concerns. So all jokes aside, shoot me a message or whatever and give me a good roast about being in the hospital or something like that. I appreciate it. But we're back to swinging, and I'm excited about it. So let's keep pushing, and we got some cool stories to share and some lights we're going to shine, and I'm excited for all the above, Tony.